This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I love the little book of James. Probably next week I'll stay in this little book, and we may talk about trials next week, because James talks about trials on the outside and temptations on the inside. It's the most practical book. One chapter starts out like this: where do fightings and quarrels and disagreements come among you? Well, if you ever wondered, James will tell you in that little book. It's a wonderful book to read to help you grow spiritually. But tonight I want to talk to you about trials. Has anybody ever really missed it and fallen and had to get up and thought, why did I do that? Why did I make that stupid mistake? Well, maybe you'll find out tonight, because we're going to talk about how trials and overcoming temptation tonight, and that big word temptation tonight. I was reading a book recently, and it said that in America, Satan would not particularly use persecution on the church. Now, we can stop and thank our forefathers for that, because even though we don't look much like it now, we are a Christian nation. We are the strongest Christian nation on the face of the earth. So it would be very hard for terrorists to come over and take over and persecute the church in America. And so Satan doesn't use that tactic with us. He uses something else. And in this little article, it said he doesn't really have to use persecution because he's distracted the church. He uses distraction. We're so busy. There's so much going on. So how many people do you know that say, well, I just don't have time to go to church? I'd go to church if I just had time to go to church. We're distracted. And we're, you know, go in a restaurant sometime and look around. It just amazes me. You'll see two people at a table and they're doing this. They have their little iPhone in their hand. They're not talking. We don't communicate. We're distracted. What did you say, honey? I was on my phone. I was on a cruise last week, ministering on a cruise to 27 Cajun women. It was a hoot. And when we went in to eat, there were three tables of us. One table was probably women in their 50s, and the table I was sitting at was the pastor's wife, the leadership, and then there was a table over here of the younger women. I would say the oldest woman in that group was maybe 45. There may have been somebody 50 in that big table. And on the night when the waiters entertain you, if you've never been on a cruise, one night the waiters entertain you. And they jump up on these little platforms and they dance, you know, and it's a fun night. Well, there was a little waiter dancing on this table, and those older ones here were looking at him and laughing. Every girl at the young table had her phone out videotaping. They were all videotaping. It was so funny. I said, man, you can really tell the age difference in our group, because these two tables are just watching and laughing and having a good time. And those tables, they're videotaping. They'll be able to tell us all about it. So distraction. Say distraction. That wasn't very good. You're distracted, or you would have heard me. Say it again. Distraction. He uses distraction, and he also uses discouragement. We get discouraged. And when you get distracted and you get discouraged, you start doubting the Lord. And that's what he's after. He wants you to get in that place. So that's his goal. Because he wants to divide us. Because if he can divide us, he can defeat us. So we really need to look at what makes us strong and how can we overcome temptation in our life. Three things that will make you strong. You might want to write these three things down. The first thing that makes us strong, that really makes us strong as individuals and makes us strong as a church, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So there is a great power that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's the reason we teach on the Holy Spirit so much here. We emphasize to you, you're born by the Holy Spirit. You have the life of God inside you. The Holy Spirit will help you. He is your helper. He is your guide. We emphasize that because it's so important for you to be strong, and I want you to be strong. Here's the second thing that'll make you strong. Faith in God and his promises. Now, you cannot have faith in God if you don't know the Word. Here's the scripture I want to use with that. It's found in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I know some of you probably get tired of pastor and all of us beating on you about get in the Word, go online, read the Word. Why are we doing that? Because we want you to have strong faith. We want you to work on your faith when you're not sick, so when you get sick or when you hit a problem, your faith will be strong. You don't have to back up and say, oh man, I got to build my faith, I've got a problem. No, you've been in the Word, and that faith has come up in you because you've learned the Word. And the Word, that's why you're here tonight. You're here tonight to learn the Word so you can be strong. So that's the second thing. The first is the Holy Spirit. The second is faith in God that comes from the Word of God. And here's the third one, unity. Unity. There's strength in unity. Now, I believe in technology, and I believe in Christian television. I was on Christian television for a long time. I believe in it. I think God did it. He's opened that door for us to take the gospel to the world. But let me tell you, there's a big misunderstanding about Christian television. God never meant for Christian television to take the place of church. You need church. You need the person next to you. You need the person in front of you. You need a pastor. When you get sick, you can't just go and stand in front of your television and say, I'm going to place my head on this television and I want you to pray for me. That doesn't work that way. No. He said these signs will follow those that believe. They'll lay their hands on you. Listen at this scripture. Put up the one on. There it goes. Genesis 11:6. This is a law of first mention scripture. The Lord said, this people are one. They have one language. And this is what they begin to do. And now nothing they propose, King James says, imagine, to do will be withheld from them. That's the Tower of Babel. They were doing something God didn't approve of. But he said, because they're together, because they're unified, there's an enormous power. An enormous power. If we're going to reach our cities, if we're going to reach our nation, if we're going to reach our world, we're not going to do it sitting by ourselves in our houses watching television. You got to be a part of what God's doing. And I'm telling you, I've been in a lot of churches over the years. I've been young and now I'm old. And I've been in a lot of churches, but I can tell you right now, this church does more to reach their community than any church I've ever been in. And we do it together. We couldn't do it if we weren't together. So those three things. So I want us to look at James because one of the things that messes us up, divides us from the body of Christ, discourages us, and distracts us is temptation. Now, I know you've been tempted because I've been tempted. Not very much, of course, but we've all been tempted, haven't we? And we may not be tempted to do drugs or kill somebody, but we are tempted every day to lose our temper. We're tempted to, you know, we're all, there are temptations that come. And I think one of the things about being strong is to understand how the enemy attacks us and how our mind attacks us and the things that cause us to stumble. I don't want to stumble, do you? I want to be strong. So let's look at James. James chapter 1, and I'm going to begin with verse 12. Here's verse 12. Blessed is the man or woman who endures temptation. For when they have been approved, they will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So there's a blessing that goes to the person who endures temptation. Well, endures temptation? Yeah. What does it mean to endure? It means to put up with it. It means to press through it. It means that to handle it wisely. As I said, every person in this room will struggle with temptation at some time. I like this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. You know, all of us have temptations, but God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape. This line is so important. He will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What is that saying? You know, one of the things we need to do is find the way of escape. A lot of people get in trouble because they don't find the way of escape. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the way of escape. How does temptation come? How does it affect us? And how can we avoid it? And how can we get out of it if we're in it right now? So let's read on and see. You know, even Jesus was confronted with temptation. The Bible says that. It says it in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. We don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So that's what we're going to do. The first key to overcoming temptation in your life is to run to God when you're tempted. Don't run away from God. When we're tempted and we're feeling a pull to be pulled away from God, sometimes we don't want to be around church because the Holy Spirit is harassing us to repent. And we think if we stay out of church, He'll quit harassing us. He will not. He will not. He will not ever give up on you. Ever, ever. So now let's look at James, because James in this first chapter begins to tell us the source where temptation originates and how it works in us. In verse 13, it says this: let no man say when he is tempted, or no one say, men and women both say this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, you just need to know that. You need to write yourself a note, underline it, circle it. If you're going through temptation, it is not from God. It isn't God. God doesn't want you to fall. God doesn't want you to sin. God wants you to be strong. He said, I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I want you to overcome. I do not want you to fall. So He's not going to tempt you to sin. He's not going to do it. Temptation is not from God ever. So what is the origin of temptation? Well, verse 14 tells us the origin of temptation. Each person, it says, is tempted when he is drawn away, oh my goodness, by his own desires and enticed. What? Yeah, we get in trouble when we get drawn away by our own desires and enticed. Now, I want to look at a couple of words. One of them is lust. I think King James says lust, his own lust. So all sin begins with strong desire. And that's what lust is. Lust is a strong desire. Actually, it says the definition of lust is a strong desire or longing. Desire and longing, both of those emotions begin not in your spirit. They begin in your mind. You see something. You want it. You think about it. The more you think about it, the more you want it. You just feel like you can't live without it. You'll never be happy if you don't have it. You have to have it. And it's something you shouldn't have. You know, there's a principle in life. What you focus on, you empower. What you focus on, you empower. When I was young, I constantly focused, I wanted to overcome, so I focused on the weakness in my life, and I empowered the weakness in my life. It just seemed like the more I focused on the weakness in my life, the weaker I became. Then my lightning quick mind, actually it was my Holy Spirit filled spirit, enlightened my mind to quit focusing on my weakness and start focusing on God. Start focusing on the Word. Start getting my focus away from that weakness and focus on the source of my strength. And amazingly, I began to overcome. And do you say you never sin now? Oh, don't ask my husband. Because he would tell you the truth. I still blow it. We all blow it, don't we? We lose our temper. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. But not as much as I used to. I'm getting stronger. So that word lust. Now it says that each one is tempted when he's drawn away with his own desires or lust. And here's the next word, enticed. This is a good word, enticed. Actually, the Greek word actually means bait, to bait a hook. Now I understand this because my husband is a fisherman. Art Hunt loves to fish. And when he's getting ready to go on a little fishing trip, I'll find him in the garage with all of these lures. And he's got a lot of lures. And he'll be painting them. And he'll be doing, what are you doing? Well, he's fixing the bait. When that little fish swims by, he knows how to reel it in, I guess. And when that little fish sees that little thing, it doesn't see the hook. It's so distracted by the colors. It's so distracted by the little hang-me-downs that are flapping around. It thinks it's a delicious minnow. But what it really is, he doesn't know that just beyond that lure is my frying pan. That's what Satan does to us. That's what the world does to us. Listen, we need to wake up. The church needs to wake up and realize that we are being lured, enticed every day by things that have the potential to destroy us. I don't believe there's a person that has ever become addicted to drugs that woke up one morning and said, I think I'll become addicted to drugs today. I think I'll become a drug addict and ruin my life. I don't think anybody ever woke up and said, I think I'll commit adultery this week. I just feel like that would be a great thing to do. No, those things happen gradually, don't they? They happen gradually. No drug addict really thinks when he takes drugs for the first time that he will become addicted. Not one. But many do, and many die. So what happens? Well, we have a strong desire. We're baited. Our friends say, try it. You'll like it. Well, you need to get some new friends. Because a true friend would never entice you to do something that is dangerous like that. Let's go on to, let me go back because I don't want to miss this line. When we really want to sin, we convince ourselves that we are the exception to the rule. And nothing bad will happen to us. And how many people, when I was preparing this, sitting at my desk, I thought of a young girl. I've never met this girl. She's from our area. And she's a young, when this happened to her, she was in her 20s, I think. And she went out and partied with some friends one night and got very drunk. And going home, had a car accident. And two people were killed. And that girl, not just the two people that lost their life, but that little girl's life was ruined by one evening of bad decision. She never thought that. Do you think she thought that evening, I'm going to kill some people and I'm going to ruin my life? No, that never entered her mind, did it? But we've got to be careful. We've got to be cautious. We've got to... The devil roams about like a roaring lion looking for somebody to kill. And we always think it won't happen to us. But one bad decision can alter your life. Our children need to know that. We need to say that to our teenagers over and over again. One bad decision can alter your life. Now, when you make a bad decision and you have to pay the consequences, life is not over, but it is altered. You can still be happy beyond that, but it's altered. Not as happy as it would have been if you hadn't made that bad decision. So let's go on. Verse 15. Let me see if I can see the clock. Oh, good. I'm good. Verse 15. When desire has conceived. Now look at the process here. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, will bring forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Desire conceives a method for taking the bait. And your will approves and acts on the method for the result is disobedience and sin. I know a lot of people that sin and they didn't die. Well, we could go back to the very first sin recorded in the Bible. And did they drop dead? They died spiritually. There is a death. It may not be a physical death, but it could be the death of a relationship. It could be the death of all kinds of death. Death is much more than just falling over dead on the floor. But a lot of times, it is natural death. So we need to be cautious. You say, this is really depressing. Well, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. But I want you to think about it. I think if you really think about it, it'll help you not fall for everything that comes across your plate. Now, James never mentioned the devil one time, did he? He said, your mind. Your mind. James doesn't mention Satan when he's talking about sin or the origin of sin. He doesn't go to that because his purpose is to explain to you that temptation does not come from God, but that Satan may be the source of temptation, but your own mind takes the bait. And he wants you to learn spiritual mind control. Now, I want to teach you tonight spiritual mind control. So now I want to go to the book of Genesis. There is a law in the Bible. When you're studying the Bible, it's called the law of first mention. The law of first mention says, when a subject is mentioned the first time in the Bible, there's a lot of really good information that will help you about that subject. And so I want to go to the first temptation in the Bible and see if we can discover anything in this temptation that would help us. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to go to verse 1 in chapter 3, the latter part of that verse. This is where the serpent beguiles the woman, Eve, and tries to get her to eat of a tree that God told her not to eat of. And so this is what it says. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now notice this. Satan approached her with a question challenging what God had said. If you look at Jesus in his temptation in the wilderness, you will notice that every time Satan approached him, he approached him with a question, and with Jesus, he would try, in one place he even tried to use the word to get Jesus to question God. If you are the Son of God, that's what he asked him. If you are really the Messiah, then do this, because the Messiah could do this. And Jesus could have done it, but Jesus was too smart to do that. And he answered him in a particular way that's very important. So here he is with Eve. He said, did God really tell you that? The very first thing that happens to you when temptation begins to bother your mind is it will begin to cause you to question God. Would this really be wrong? Would I really get in trouble if I did this? See those questions? See those questions? When those questions come, you just need to stand back. Just step back and realize it may be Satan speaking to your mind. Don't talk to him. Don't talk to him. Now, let's think about some things in our life that may make us question God. Hath God said? Sometimes when you're going through sorrow, if a tragedy happens, something terrible happens, the enemy might say, do you really think God loves you? If that happened to you, do you really think God loves you? You just need to, when that happens, you need to get in the Word of God and find the scriptures that says God so loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son that all I have to do is trust in him and I can have everlasting life. And Jesus said he came to give me life and that more abundantly. So whatever's happening to me right now, whatever I'm going through right now, it is subject to change because God loves me. But see, you've got to learn. You've got to get the word in you. So when the enemy tries to get you to question, sometimes when we have to wait, I don't like to wait. I do not like long lines. I do not like to wait. And I really don't even like to wait for answers from God. If I'm needing healing, I want it now, Lord. Give me patience and give it to me now. But sometimes we have to wait. And sometimes waiting isn't easy. And sometimes when we're waiting, the enemy will try to say, you may as well just give that up. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You know, I don't think he would mind me telling you. My darling husband that many of you know and love, and I know and love him too. We were married 25 years before he received Christ as his Savior. I worshiped by myself for 25 years. I prayed for him for 25 years. But there were many times during those years that the enemy said, he's never going to get saved. He's never going to get saved. And I would have to back up and say, no, no, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your house. I don't care how long it takes, Lord. You said that the unbelieving husband is sanctified, set apart unto God's use by the believing wife. I'm a believing wife. My husband will serve the Lord. And in 1989, you know, it seems to me he's always been saved. Because when he got saved, he got radically saved. And he's radical and he's wonderful and he's perfect. But don't tell him I said that. Because I don't want him to get a big head. But what I'm telling you, sometimes when you have to wait, the enemy tries to get you to stop believing. Just give it up. Just live with that. Well, you just may have to have that sickness the rest of your life. No, you don't. There are many of the, I had arthritis in both my hips, and it took 2 years of confessing the word before the healing came. But thank God it came. And I don't have it anymore. So don't give up and don't question God. Notice the strategy that Satan used was to get Eve to question what God had said. Or maybe her understanding of what God had said. And he's still speaking to people today. He'll still try to get you. He still speak to your mind. Remember, distraction, discouragement, and doubt. That's what he's after in your mind. Now let's read on to verses 2 and 3. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of all the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. She knew exactly what God said. And she repeated exactly what God had said, lest you die. And she just should not have talked to that snake. When he started trying to get her to question God, she just should have turned around and with her husband who happened to be with her. I wonder what he was doing while she was having this chatty conversation with the devil. But we'll ask him when we meet him. If you say anything to Satan, say what Jesus said. It is written. It is written, buddy. Would you like to hear the word? It is written. And that's what you need to say. And so then listen to what the serpent said. Oh, you won't die. That's what he said. You won't surely die. God knows that in the day you eat of this tree, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You won't die. Now, there's something you need to know about Satan. He is the father of lies. Anything he says to you is a lie. So if you answered him at all with a remark like that, you should say, well, now I know I'll die because you said I wouldn't. So you just got to know that he's the father of lies. Do not listen to the world or the devil. Now, I want you to look at this next because this is so important to us. So when the woman, now first she listened to him, and then she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to her eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. So she took of the fruit and she ate, and she gave it to her husband, and he ate. A lot of times when we get in trouble, we don't just get in trouble for ourselves. We pull people down with us. It's one thing for you to fall, but don't take somebody with you. She saw, she desired the wisdom. She fell and she took Adam with her. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, each of us is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and he's enticed. Now let's look at a couple of scripture, one scripture, two different translations that gives us a little more insight into she saw and she desired and she took up the fruit. The first one is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says this, do not love the world. Now, this is not the physical world. This is the world system. That word means world system. Do not love the world system or anything in the world system. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, now look at this, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, she desired something, she saw something, and the pride of life does not come from the Father, but from the world. Now, I want you to see this in the Message Bible. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world will squeeze out your love for the Father. practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all of its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. So the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, we just have to really be cautious of those three things. But I want you to notice those three: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh has to do with passions. We get in trouble when our passions begin to control us. Wanting something, feeling like you can't live without something. Passions. The second one is lust of the eyes. That's possessions. Boy, in the United States of America, that's a big one. We got to have a bigger car. We got to have a bigger house. We got to have more clothes. We got to have the next technology. I got an old phone. I need a new one. I really do need a new one. My poor old phone, I ran over it with my car. I dropped it in water, and it's still working. It's like that little bunny. It's still running. It's still working. But the lust of the eyes, possessions, and the pride of life, that's position. She saw it would make her wise. Oh, I'll be like God. Position. Wanting to appear important. Now, those are the three things you have to watch. We need to daily ask the Lord. You know, when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We need to pray that every day. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so let's talk about what should we do. Well, first let's look at the scripture in Romans 12, 1 and 2, because this is what we need to do. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the first thing. Give yourself to God daily. Worship God daily. Present your body to God daily. And then do the second one. And don't be conformed to this world system. Don't be pressed into an image. Don't let the world tell you what to think. Don't let the world tell you what to do, but be transformed. That word transform means changed from the inside out. Let the Holy Spirit in you begin to come through you and renew your mind. Renew your mind. Change the way you think so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the first thing. That's the first thing we need to do. We need to worship God, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to change the way we think. We need to guard our mind. In 2 Corinthians 10:35, we're told we are in a warfare, and we need to guard our mind. Though we walk in the flesh, we're natural men and women, we do not war after the flesh. My words are gone. Carrie, where did my scripture go? There it is. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Say mighty. In God, and they will pull down strongholds. They'll get rid of those strongholds. They'll take hold of your mind. Look what they'll do. But this is what we've got to do. We've got to cast down arguments. Pull it down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Pull it down and replace it with the Word. Pull it down and replace it with the Word. If you're in a situation that's causing you to be tempted, run. If your passions are being troubled by some situation, run. The Bible says we're to flee youthful lust, not sit around and talk to it. We're to run, get away from it. So guard your mind and fill your thoughts with the Word of God. Fill your thoughts, right focus. Then practice prayer. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, you need to watch and pray so you won't enter into temptation. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. How many of you have weak flesh? That's Matthew 26:41. We've got to pray. Now you say, I don't have time. I barely have time to come to church. You want me to read the Bible? You want me to pray? You want me to worship every day? I am. I want you to begin to discipline yourself to the things that will make you strong. I want you to discipline yourself to the things that will cause you to be able to overcome in every area of your life. And I want to close tonight with one more passage from James. James 4:7-8. So submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So make up your mind tonight. That's what you're going to do. You're going to draw near to God. You're going to resist the devil, and you're going to discipline your mind so you can live an overcoming life, a life of happiness, a life of joy, a life of power. Did that bless you? Four of you. I'm so glad. Before we leave tonight, if you're here and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that tonight. Let's bow our heads for a moment. If you're in this room and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we won't embarrass you. We're going to pray with you, but we'll pray with you right where you are in your seat. If you'll just slip your hand in the air, never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would like to tonight. Just slip your hand in the air. I see your hands. I see your hands. Anybody else? You can put them down now. How about this? You say, Billy, I know I'm born again. I've made Jesus the Lord of my life, but I'm not serving him as I should. I need to rededicate my life tonight to the Lord, and I want you to pray for me. If that's you, slip your hand in the air. I see those hands all over the building. I see those hands. Now, put those hands down. I want to ask one more question. Say, Billy, I've been really struggling with temptation and falling and getting up and falling and getting up, and I really tonight would like the Lord to give me a fresh start and a new anointing to live for him and overcome temptation. If that's you, shoot your hand up in the air. Yeah, all over the building. We're going to pray this little prayer. Just pray this with me. Pray it from your heart. It'll change your eternity. Pray after me. Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. You're strengthening my spirit. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.